This morning early, the Lord spoke clearly these two words: I'm coming. The day of my return is at hand. Let my people know it's about to happen. What is about to occur will change world history. Nothing will remain the same. Let the unbelievers, let the skeptics, let the religious ones know that what they fear the most is about to happen. My warm season of grace and mercy will soon turn to a chilling winter of judgment and wrath.
Welcome you to this edition of Prophecy Quake. It is September 16, 2014, and we are live here in East Central Alabama at our undisclosed location in the realms of Beulah and Casita, Alabama. Yes, it does exist, folks. I'm your host tonight, Pastor Dean Odle, along with Pastor let people know that we're on. You can email, text, Facebook message someone and share the link. The number tonight for calling in with any comments or questions will be 347-884-8566, 347-884-8566. Again, we welcome you to Prophecy Quake. Of course, if you saw the title of the show tonight on Facebook, we're going to talk about the issue of, and it's a controversial issue within the world, of course, now in light of ISIS and the violence going on that Muslims are perpetrating in Syria and Iraq and, of course, in Egypt and Pakistan and really in almost every Arab country. The violence that they're perpetrating in the name of their God, Allah, and, of course, according to their scriptures and the Quran, a lot of people are beginning to say, well, the Bible also has this type of violence, the Old Testament, where God ordered Moses and Joshua and Caleb and others to destroy entire tribes and groups of people. And so there's this comparison made, and a lot of people, you know, over time, too, this has been an argument of agnostics and atheists that the Bible promoted genocide and murder and even killing of men, women, and children. And that is something, of course, we need to address, and we're going to address that tonight because there's articles beginning to pop up in different places now. There's one on The Blaze, networks. I think I saw one on Alex Jones' website, InfoWars. But we, you know, talking about, there's talk about banning the Bible as hate speech or because of this. Of course, that would be, they're going to be hard pressed to do that one. But still, just the fact that it's an issue of discussion. So the title of our show tonight, we're going to deal with the subject of Old Testament genocide or is it Satan's genetic evil? And, of course, if you saw the title, we had it saying Nephilim 101. Now, for a lot of you, you may go, what in the world is he talking about? Well, we're going to cover that thoroughly. I want you, if you're at home tonight, if you're on your computer or you have an iPad or an iPhone or if you can go old school and get an actual Bible out, you need to do that tonight because you need to see what the scriptures have to say about this, and again, what our scriptures, the Holy Bible, Genesis to Malachi, the Old Testament, and Matthew to Revelation, the New Testament, we have to be sure that we take what is said, what is revealed in context, and that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to look at some of these issues in context, and I'm going to make a very important point in just a moment after our break and after the news with Pastor Billy. I'm going to make the point that we're going to cover tonight. So I want you to stay with me because there's an answer to this question that's going to blow many people's minds, even people who've been Christians for a long time. And I would just believe part of the Bible and not take it all. Either it's truth or it's a lie. Either it's a myth or it is the real account of the history of mankind from God's perspective and the perspective of God's people. So we're going to look at all that tonight. Again, get somebody out there. Text them right now. Say, hey, you need to listen to this show. We're going to talk about Satan's genetic evil that he began in the world all the way back in Genesis. We're going to look at why God ordered Israel and others to wipe out this evil that if you don't look closely, it gives the appearance that it's genocide or evil violence. But you're going to see that the Bible in context, it's quite a different story than what ISIS is doing and what's going on with the Muslims, the Quran, and all that. So, listen, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with the news, and then we will get into our program. Again, we welcome you. Glad you're with us tonight. Again, the number to call in with your questions or comments is 347-884-8566. 347-884-8566. We'll be back in just a moment.
Prophecy, world news, and the supernatural power of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. Time for Prophecy Quake, Prophecy in the News with Pastor Billy Painter.
Good evening. These are the headlines for September 16th, 2014. Islamic by offering aid in exchange for services to be named later, according to the Times of Israel. The Islamic State terror group is operating sleeper cells in southern Syria near the border with Israel, a spokesman for the opposition's Free Syrian Army charged Sunday. The Islamic State is trying to establish itself all across Syria, he told the Times of Israel. The organization is going through a process of transformation. Other groups in Syria are trying to associate themselves with it and pledge allegiance to it. Some do so out of fear, while others hope to benefit from it in the future. The New York Times reports that the U.S. is beginning to push back against warnings that ISIS plans to enter from Mexico. Militants for the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria have traveled to Mexico and are just miles from the United States. They plan to cross over the porous border and will immediately launch car bomb attacks. And the threat is so real that the federal law enforcement officers have been placed at a heightened state of alert, and an American military base near the border has increased its security. As the Obama administration and the American public has focused their attention on ISIS in recent weeks, conservative groups and leading Republicans have issued stark warnings, like those above, that ISIS and other extremists from Syria are planning to enter the country illegally from Mexico. But the Homeland Security Department and the FBI and other lawmakers who represent areas near the border say that there's no truth to these warnings. There is no credible intelligence to suggest that there is an active plot by ISIL to attempt to cross the southern border, Homeland Security officials have said in written statements. Of course, they're using an alternate acronym for the group. There is a long-standing history in this country of projecting whatever fears we have onto the border, said Representative Beto O'Rourke of Texas. Democrats say opponents of President Obama are simply playing on concerns about terrorism as part of their attempt to portray Mr. Obama as having failed to secure the border against illegal immigration. Feds find anti-Israel and pro-Palestinian 9/11 message to America on a border fence. In Nogales, Arizona, on September 11, 2014, individuals or a group in Mexico hung a message to America over the U.S.-Mexico border wall, condemning American support for Israel and declaring support for Palestine. U.S. federal agents discovered the banner draped over the primary border fence in Arizona's Yuma sector in a restricted area that could only have been reached from Mexico. The message also contained an image described by authorities as an anarchist symbol. The incident was kept secret from the American public by federal authorities. Breitbart, Texas, exclusively obtained the leak incident report from federal agents on the condition their identities remain. Texas sheriffs report that ISIS terrorist cells are coming across the border. This is out of Midland, Texas, and it was reported on CBS out of Houston. Midland County Sheriff Gary Painter said that the law enforcement agencies along the wide-open border have received alerts to be on the lookout for terrorists from the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria crossing into the United States. Painter said that he received an intelligence report that said there was ISIS cells that were active in the Juarez, Mexico area, which is the northern part of the Chihuahua state, and they were moving around over there and that there was some activity. Painter went on to tell Fox News. The reporter then asked the sheriffs along the border to be on the alert for all law enforcement to be on alert and to be on the lookout for these people maybe trying to come across. Painter actually sidestepped any direct knowledge that ISIS specifically is along the border, but he reiterated that the border is, in fact, wide open. There's always a way to get across. There's coyotes, which are people that bring other folks through illegally the border, that bring these people across for thousands and thousands of dollars. Painter Some items have been strewn across the border, and estimated that 10 to 15 million undocumented aliens have, in fact, crossed the border. I think I'd be naive to say that ISIS is not here. We've found Muslim clothing. They have found Quran books that are lying on the side of the trail, so we know that there are Muslims that have come across and are being smuggled into the United States. On health issue notes, the Center for Disease Control has issued a Ebola checklist. Now is the time to prepare. This is out of the Washington Examiner. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, warning hospitals and doctors that now is the time to prepare, has actually issued a six-page Ebola checklist to help healthcare workers quickly determine if patients are in fact infected. While the CDC does not believe that there are new cases of Ebola in the U.S., the assumption in the checklist is that it is only a matter of time before the virus hits home. The U.S. State Department has ordered 160,000 Ebola hazmat suits. Bulk purchase prompts concerns about the spread of the deadly epidemic. The U.S. State Department has ordered 160,000 hazmat suits for Ebola. In a press release posted by MarketWatch, Lakeland Industries, a manufacturer of industrial protective clothing for first responders, announced that it had signaled its intention to join the fight against the spread of Ebola by encouraging other suppliers to meet the huge demand created by the U.S. State Department's order of those 160,000 hazmat suits. The huge bulk order of hazmat suits for Ebola has stoked concerns that the United States government expects the virus to continue to ravage countries in West Africa and may also be concerned about an outbreak inside the United States. The Washington Examiner also is reporting that 200,000 people from Ebola who hold temporary visas to visit the United States, which greatly raises the stakes that it could spread to America, according to a group following the immigration issue. ISIS moving closer to Israel and American borders, worldwide spread of Ebola gearing towards Americans' landfall, governmental mouthpieces continuing their deception and smokescreens. These are some of the headlines for September 16th, 2014.
Sunday morning at Fire and Grace Church right here in the Opelika, Auburn area. Our Sunday morning worship starts at 10:30 a.m. and we go live on Blog Talk Radio at 11 a.m. We would love to see you there. Our website is fireandgracechurch.org. Welcome you back. Again, you're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm your host, Pastor Dean Odle, and we're going to get into our subject tonight. We're going to look at the issue of, does the Bible call for genocide, or was there genocidal acts in the Bible supposedly ordered by God, and does that even compare to what's going on with ISIS and the Quran and Muhammad and all that? So we need to look at the context of Scripture tonight, because the article, one of the articles that I mentioned earlier in the introduction of this episode tonight is from The Blaze, And the article was posted on September the 8th, 2014, and it says, "The Bible calls for killing nonbelievers. University-owned hotels implement major Bible policy change." So there are people now really starting to act upon this issue and this debate. But here's the point we're going to make tonight. We're going to start out with this very clearly. Because we have, you know, Christians in the world, we have Jews in the world that believe, of course, the Jews believe the Old Testament is the inspired word of God, and that it is truly the word of Jehovah, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And, of course, Christians believe in the same God. We just believe that the Son of God, or the part of the Trinity, came, Jesus Christ, came and as the Messiah to die on our cross for our sins and be raised from the dead the third day, according to the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures, that he is the prophesied Messiah. So we, both Jews and Christians, truly do hold to the same God, though we have a disagreement about Jesus being the Jewish Messiah, but we hold to that. So we have people now saying, you know, that, you know, the Christians or the Christians and the Jews, their Bible advocates, we see these wars and these, what they say, religious wars and this violence against entire groups of people. And they kind of just put out that blanket statement. And like this, we have, you know, a major university-owned hotel saying we're going to take all the Bibles out of the rooms now because they promote violence or they advocate violence. And again, we're not putting it into context, because here's how you have to be with the Bible. You've got doubts about the inspiration. You can't take part of the Bible as true and say, okay, these acts of genocide supposedly done by Israel actually happened, but the rest of the Bible's myths and stories and fairy tales, you can't have it both ways. You either have to say, I believe the Bible is historically correct, that the stories in it are true, or you have to say it's all a myth, it's all a fabrication. So if you stand and say that it's all a myth, you're an agnostic or an atheist, and you say the Bible is all a myth, then you can't dare take one story in the Bible and try to discredit the God of the Bible that you don't even believe in. So that's the first thing. You're just being intellectually dishonest, and it's, you know, I had a group of homosexuals try to do that out on the campus of Auburn University one day when we were out there preaching the gospel, and of course they came up and tried to take some scriptures out of context. And I said, wait a minute, you don't even believe this book. So how do you dare try to use it as proof of your point? I mean, you're a hypocrite. You're contradicting yourself. Prove your point some other way. You don't believe this book is the word of God, then don't dare use it to try to prove me wrong for saying homosexuality is a sin and that God wants us. But anyway, so that's where that came to. But that's just something that we really, really need to get down in us. Now, there's a lot of Christians out there who they say they believe the Bible, but then when they're confronted with questions like this, well, didn't God Almighty, didn't Jehovah, the God of the Old Testament that you say is Father God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, didn't he order Israel to destroy entire groups of people? And a lot of people are stumped about this because, you know, the question then comes, well, how can a loving God, you say he's a loving and merciful God, how could a loving and merciful God order the deaths of men, women, and children, and so on down the line? And, you know, that stumped a lot of people for a lot of years. But remember, this is the context of our discussion tonight. You have to take what happened in its context, and you have to look at the details and everything that surrounds that, those incidents, and understand what was going on. Now, first of all, I want to say this. There are some of these incidents that God told Joshua, he told Moses and Joshua and the children of Israel not to mess with a certain group of people, but when that group attacked them militarily, God had them defend themselves in a defensive war. So some of those situations are easily explained by the fact that they were attacked, and they just responded and defended their families and their homes. There are some other ones where God, it is very clear that God told them to go and wipe a group of people out. And But again, there's a very, very unique context to it. And some of you, even Christians out there and been in church maybe your whole life, you have never even heard this. But we're going to go back and remember, either you believe the Bible or you don't. Do you believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, that Mary was a virgin and the Holy Spirit came upon her and Jesus was born supernaturally of a virgin birth? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins as the Messiah and rose from the dead? Okay, do we believe the story of Jonah, that he was literally swallowed by a great fish and for 3 days was in his belly and then the fish vomited him out and he went and preached to Nineveh? Do we believe the miracles of Jesus, that he walked on water, that he raised the dead, that he healed the sick, that he cast out demons? We know the first century Jewish historian Josephus believed that Jesus did miracles because we have his account that he believed it. But what I'm getting at is, We Christians, and this is mainly who I'm talking to tonight too, is don't say you believe in certain supernatural elements of the Bible and then come back and tell me after tonight that you don't believe what I'm telling you that's in the Bible as well. Because if we try to eliminate the supernatural element of the Bible, the spiritual side, that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, that there is a spirit realm, that there is a real devil, a real Satan, there are real fallen angels, there are real good angels, there are demon spirits, there are evil spirits. This is what the Bible teaches. So you either have to accept that as a Christian, or you just throw it all out. You can't pick and choose, is what I'm getting at tonight. So if we accept the supernatural element that God is creator, he is above his creation, he has supernatural power, that Jesus came and demonstrated that in healing and the sick and raising the dead and casting out demons and walking on water and turning the water into wine, and then, of course, all the miracles we see in the Old Testament with Elijah the prophet and Elisha the prophet and, the flood and everything else. If you believe that, then you're going to have to believe what I'm telling you tonight, because it's in the same Bible and it's laid out in multiple passages, and this is a teaching we need to get a hold of. And you say, what is that teaching? Well, the teaching is plainly this, and we're going to go to Genesis chapter 6 and you can go there. But the teaching is this, is that the fallen angels and saw and had sexual relations with them and had a hybrid race that was half human, half fallen angel. And the Bible called them, in the Hebrew, was the Nephilim. They were also called the Raphaim. The King James Bible at times referred to them as the giants, the great men of renown. But they were not fully human. They were Satan's attempt to destroy the pure genetic DNA of the human race to stop the Messiah from coming. And we can prove that right now. We're going to read some scriptures and let's look at it. This is Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 1. And here's what it says. And it says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and took them wives, all of which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of man and that have made them. But Noah found grace in the sight and the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And then, of course, we know Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and they were married. and the earth was corrupted with violence. And we're gonna stop there, and we're gonna go back. Now, the Bible says here, and this is the King James Version. I love the King James Version, but here's what it says. When he says the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them and they produced giants. And the word giants here, of course, is the word Nephal or Nephalim is the plural. But they produced giants. Now, a lot of people say, well, how do you know that the term sons of God referred to the Job chapter 1 and chapter 2 and also in Job chapter 38? The term sons of God was never used in those passages and anywhere else, to my knowledge, that was not used in talking about mankind. In Job 1, Job 2, and Job 38, when it talks about the sons of God, the phrase is used to talk about the angels. And so we don't see that term used in the Old Testament at all for men. It was always a term for the angelic beings. Now, we know from the book of Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28, we know that Lucifer, whose name was really the angel, when he was an angel in heaven, his name was Hallel, and that's the Hebrew translation of the name Lucifer in Isaiah 14. So, but Lucifer's not an angel name. He's adopted that, but he goes by many names: Satan, Lucifer, the devil, the dragon. But his original name as an angel was Hallel, and you had Michael and you had Gabriel as three, I believe, of the archangels. And we know that Hallel, Lucifer, Satan fell from heaven. He rebelled against God. He sinned, and he rebelled, and he was cast out of heaven. And we know from Revelation chapter 12 that he took a third of the angels with him. And then there was a group of these angels that began to cohabit with female women, with women that were human. And so the Bible talks about that this was hybrid human race that was created. And some of them, they had different characteristics. The mixture of the day were able to procreate. Listen, I don't know all the answers to this. I'm just telling you what the book says. And the book says that these sons of God, these angels, had physical relations with these women, and they produced children that had different DNA and characteristics than normal human beings. Some of them were very tall. We know that, as we'll see in a minute, when we look into Deuteronomy, that king of Og, of Bashan, that he was somewhere between 15 and 18 feet tall. We know that Goliath was talking about the Nephilim, the seed or the genetic seed of Satan coming down to pass. When men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is also flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And of course, this caused this demonic fallen angel slash human hybrid race that began to multiply in the earth. It says it really began an increase of wickedness and great wickedness in the earth. And that's what verse 5 goes into. Now, what I was saying, that in plural, Naphalim, and of course they were also called, as we'll see in the book of Deuteronomy, we'll see they were called Raphaim. There was also a valley in Israel, in the land of Israel, Canaan, that was dedicated to them. It was called the Valley of the Rephaim, basically called, it translated, the Valley of the Giants. So we know that this happened, and I'm just going to say this, folks. You can believe this, you cannot believe this, but there's a lot of people doing research into this now across the world, and many, some have been for years. We know Steve Quayle has written extensively on the subject of documenting the extremely different bones, skeletons that have been discovered across the world, some ranging from 7 feet tall to some ranging up to even 36 feet tall. We know that some of these characteristics of this genetic mutation that you have between evil fallen angels and human women produced these giants. It wasn't always that they were giants. Some of the mutations they had, we know in the Bible, they would have 6 fingers or 6 toes. We know also that in one place, of course, with David, they were called, there was a man that said he was a lion-like man, so he had the appearance of being like a lion. We go down, and of course, many of the skeletons being found across the world, especially in Peru and Bolivia and different places, we're finding skulls that are elongated and not from human manipulation or binding. Well, they're finding skulls all across the world that are completely different structurally than the human brain and the human skull, even with different numbers of plates and a missing suture that we have down the middle of our skull. Of course, extremely larger brain capacity in these skulls. And also, there's been DNA tests on these skulls to prove that they are part human. And, of course, the scientists are saying part human and part something else. There's been skeletons that the Smithsonian has whisked away, but you can go back to old newspaper articles, especially in the 1800s and the early 1900s, and you can see many discoveries, even in America and different parts of the world, of skeletons, human-like skeletons that are, you know, 12 feet tall, 15 feet tall. There's an Irish giant that was found that was, you know, at least 15 to 16 feet tall. A lot of these are being hidden away now from public view because, of course, it would prove the Bible true and also prove some things of where we're headed. But nonetheless, what we're talking about tonight is in the Bible. Now, you either accept the Bible or you throw out these passages. Now, what we're going to do here is now I want you to turn to Deuteronomy. We're going to look at Deuteronomy and look at the passages that it talks about there. Deuteronomy chapter 2, we'll go there first because this is going to address the issue that we're talking about tonight, this where God begins to have them go into the land, the children of Israel, after they came out of Egypt and they wandered around the desert, those 40 years, and finally God said, you've gone around this mountain long enough. I want you to go into the promised land, the land of Canaan, and take the land that I promised to Abraham. And certain people there, certain groups of people, God said, leave them alone. Don't bother them. But other groups of people, he said, wipe them out completely and have no dealings with them whatsoever. So we're going to read this. This is Deuteronomy chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 1. So again, if you have your Bibles, you need to read this with me. Verse 1, then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir, which is in Edom, many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, you have compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward, And command thou the people, saying, you are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you, and take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore meddle not with them, for I will not give you their land, no, not so much as a foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. So you see, God says, don't bother them. Don't bother the Edomites. Don't bother the children of Esau. I've given this place to them. You don't bother them. You shall buy meat of them, verse 6, for money that they may eat, and you shall buy water of them for money that they may drink. And the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all thy works and of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness these 40 years, and the Lord thy God lack nothing. And when we pass by our brethren, the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, through the way of the plain, from Elath unto Ezion Geber, we turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. And the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have given it to Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession. Now, verse 10, he mentions another group of people. He says, the Emims, he says, dwelt therein in times past. And they were a great people and many and tall as the Anakims. So he's saying these Emims were just like the Anakims. Now, the Anakims were giants. They were Nephilim. They were of this offspring of the fallen angels and the human women. They were this genetic mixture. But they were an evil people, and it says that the children of the Moabites here actually fought them, and God helped them destroy them. Now, I want to say this. One of the reasons that God helped even the children of Moab deal with these people, and you're going to see he helped others deal with them, is because they really weren't human. They were so wicked, so evil, down to their DNA, down to their structure. They were part supernatural being of the fallen angels, the evilness, and they were part human. So they were a unique creature. Though some of them looked human, they were not human. And this is an important understanding that we've got to get a hold of. And, without belaboring the point, I'm going to read some more scriptures, but this tells you why God had the children of Israel wipe out certain of these groups of people, both the men, the women, and the children, because they were not human. They were not fully human. They were evil entities. And, we know, like right now, we know the Satanists, the occultists, the Illuminati, the Luciferians pretty much run Hollywood. They run almost everything in the world, the banking system. We know this because we know the Bible says that Satan would take over the world in the last days, the banking system, the communication system, everything. Do you know that right now there's this a fascination both in the secular music industry and the movie industry of this genetic manipulation to create something that's not quite human, but it's still human, but to make hybrids to enhance humanity. And not just in the movies and in music, but we're seeing this in the science realm, the whole move toward what is being called transhumanism, or moving into the post-human era, where through both... Well, listen, once you start changing your DNA, your genetics, and you are no longer fully human. Now, when you start opening this door, you realize now... He says that those who end up taking the mark of the beast so that they can buy and sell and be part of this system that's coming, I believe it's going to begin to change your very DNA, your ability to think for yourself. I believe it may even steal your free will, because they're talking about now nanotechnology being implanted that can control your emotions and your thoughts and all kinds of things. I mean, we're headed down a very dangerous territory, but see, there's nothing new under the sun, the Bible says. What has been will be again, the Bible said. So what we see, we look back in the time of Noah, and we see the fallen angels creating this genetic hybrid human being, part fallen angel, supernatural being, part human, And we see them trying to destroy and corrupt the human race completely, anyone that was really human. And so God raised up Israel. Part of the reason he raised them up was he raised up Israel because he was going to have a pure human race to bring in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Because the reason Jesus became flesh is because Adam and Eve sinned, a man, a fleshly man, sinned and gave up the keys of hell and death, the keys of life, the keys of eternal life, the dominion of the earth, everything Adam and Eve handed over to Satan by sinning. A man had to come to the earth and live a sinless life, resist the devil, not give in to any of the devil's tactics, then choose to die when he had not sinned, because sin brings death. Jesus came, never sinned, resisted the temptations of the devil, and then when he died, it said he laid down his life as an atonement for man's sins, but it also says that he went into hell, he got the keys of hell and death, he stripped them from Satan's power and the dominion of the earth, and he took that away, and that's what Jesus coming began to do. Well, what the devil was trying to do, if he could corrupt the DNA of mankind, wipe out all true, pure human beings, if he could do that, he could stop the prophecy of Genesis 3:15 of the Messiah coming as a man to crush the head of the serpent, which is the devil, to destroy his work and his claim to the earth, to life and death. And so this was an epic battle going on here over the genetics of mankind, over the DNA of mankind. And you think that this battle is not going on right now? Here it is. And here's what Jesus said. Here's the fascinating. The days of Noah. I mean, you couldn't be more clear that there was going to be genetic manipulation going on, trying to create superhumans. And I believe it's the fallen angels that are operating with human beings right now, trying to teach them how to do these things, because Satan needs an army of wicked so-called human beings that are going to say they're aliens, but they're really these people, these groups coming back. So let's read on, though, in Deuteronomy here in chapter 2. We got down to verse 10. The Emims dwelt therein in times past, a great people, and many and tall, as the Anakims. And it says, and they were accounted giants as the Anakims, but the Moabites called them Emims. And then there was another group called the Horims, also dwelt in Seir before time, but the children of Esau succeeded them when they had destroyed them from before them, that they dwelt instead in Israel and did in the land of the possession which the Lord gave unto them. So he said you had the children of Esau, who was the brother of Jacob or Israel, had to destroy this group of people because they were just like the Anakims. And he says, now look at verse 13. Now rise up, I said, and get you over the brook Zered. And we went over the brook Zered, and the space in which we came to Kadesh Barnea until we were come over to the brook Zered was 38 years, until all the generation of the men of war were wasted out from among the host, as the Lord sware to them. For indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from among the host until they were consumed. So it came that all the men of war were consumed and dead from among the people, that the Lord spake to me. He said, thou art to pass over through Ar and the coast of Moab this day, and when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give you their land, the children of Ammon, any possession, because I give it unto the children of Lot for a possession. That also was accounted a land of giants, and people great and many and tall as the Anakims. But the Lord destroyed them before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead, as did the children of Esau dwell in Seir, and he destroyed the Horims before them, and they succeeded them. So here we see very clearly, you have, well, verse 23, you have the Avims, which dwelt in Harazim, or Hazarim, and even unto Aza and Kephtorims. And so you have these that were destroyed as well. So what I'm getting at here, you see God directing Moses and Aaron into the promised land, the land of Canaan, and you see them say him very clearly, don't mess with this group of people. But this group of people who is of these descendants of the giants, the Anakims, the Emims, he says, you know, many of them were destroyed before, but you destroy them. Now he goes on. We go to talk. Let's jump down here to chapter 3. He says, then we turned and went up the way to Bashan, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us, and he and all his people. So you have the king of Bashan, this king Og, came out, and all his people to battle. And verse 2, and the Lord said unto me, fear him not, for I will deliver him and all his people into and his land. King of Bashan and all his people, and we smote him until none was left to him remaining. And we took all his cities at that time, and there was not a city in which we took not from them. 60 cities, 60 cities, all the region of Argob, and the kingdom of Og in Bashan, all these cities were fenced with high walls, gates, and bars, beside unwalled towns, a great many. And we utterly destroyed them, and we did unto as we did unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, utterly destroying the men, women, and children, every city. Now you say, well, okay, this. It says, for only Og, the king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants. And behold, his bedstead, or his bed, was a bedstead. It was made of iron. Is it not in Rabbah of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits and the length thereof, and 4 cubits was the breadth thereof, after the cubit of a man. Now, a cubit was about 18 inches. So there you have it. We got a man that's over 13 feet tall. And it has a bed of iron because he is so heavy. We have a bed that's clearly about 15 feet long. And we know then that he was this genetic mixture of human women and the fallen angels. So God said, destroy him, everything, all his cities, all his people, men, women, and children, because, again, hear what I'm saying. This is what the Bible teaches, whether you think it's far out or weird or strange or whatever. Bottom line, the Bible teaches that these people were destroyed because they were not fully human and they were evil. And that's why many of them were raised up, because they had supernatural abilities and they also had supernatural strength. And they also, some of them, again, were very tall. Some of them had 2 rows of teeth. Some of them had fangs. The Amalekites were said that word means vampire-like. So some of them had fangs. They were known not only to kill human beings, but also to eat human beings and drink their blood, to sacrifice human beings. Even, you know, the fee-fi-fo-fum, the big giant, you know, in Jack and the Beast. What does he say? I smell the blood of an Englishman. And, you know, we look at that story, and there's been a recent remake of the movie, and it was, you know, Jack the Giant Killer. And you see the story there, again, of these giants who were cannibals, evil, would have wiped out mankind, having superior strength, supernatural power and abilities. And, you know, you think about some of the soldiers that were raised up, like Samson, who was raised up to fight the Philistines. Well, we know that some of the remaining Nephilim that weren't destroyed by Moses and Joshua ended up settling in Gath. That's the town that Goliath came from. So we see that this genetic issue continued on in Israel, even you know, 1,000 years later, in the days of David, King David, when David killed Goliath. We know that the Bible says that Goliath had 4 brothers. We know that some of David's mighty men, God had to give them supernatural strength to fight these men, because they were had supernatural abilities. So here's what I'm saying. If you take out the supernatural element of the Bible and you take out these passages out of their context of the supernatural battle going on and God's people versus this evil race that was not fully human, if you take the stories of violence and what appears to be genocide out, then you can make that case. You could say, well, there's genocide in the Bible. But see, again, God always has a reason why he does stuff. And what's funny to me, too, is that these same people who want to accuse God of violence and genocide in these cases will also complain that God doesn't deal with evil in the world. You know, they'll say, why does God let evil go on? But when he deals with evil, then they say, oh, he's a genocidal maniac and just wants to kill people. You see, you can't have it both ways out there. Again, I know, that I have encountered the living God. I know that the God of the Bible is the one true God. He is the creator of heaven and earth. I have encountered the Messiah, Jesus, and he's changed my life and saved me and forgiven me of sins and made me have a born-again spirit, and I've walked with him. I've talked with him. I've seen his power, and I've been in his presence. Jesus is real to me. So I don't have a problem. I've seen the deaf healed. I've seen people with cancer healed in Jesus' name. I've seen the crippled walk and just mighty miracles. I've even seen the dead raised in Jesus' name. And yes, you can not believe it if you want to. I don't care. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, again, if you're a Christian, you call yourself a Christian, you've got to believe this supernatural element of the Scriptures. Well, guess what? You can't say I can believe in Jesus walking on water or healing the sick, but I don't believe in this genetic manipulation of fallen angels creating a race of giants. You see, some people just try to draw the line and say, well, I can believe this, but I don't believe that. It's not the way it works. And here's the problem. Whenever you deny a truth in the Scriptures, you always set yourself up to be deceived in some way. And because the church world and many of the pastors, when I say many, probably 99.9% have not taught their people about the Nephilim, about the Raphaim, about the genetic manipulation of Satan and creating a race of evil, supernatural, half-supernatural angels and half-human beings, because they haven't taught that truth, then they didn't have, kids went off to college and they didn't have any context to answer these professors that would attack their faith. Faith in the Scriptures. But what's amazing about this, and of course we don't have time to get into this, and this being a radio show, we really don't have, we can't put up pictures to show you and all the evidence, but the evidence out there in the archaeological world of the skeletons and the even skeletons, like I said, that are 15 feet tall, 12 feet tall, the six fingers and the six toes, just like the Bible talked about these men, the elongated skulls that you find, when you start seeing all the massive amounts of evidence that's out there, and of course much of it, a lot of it's being hidden from us. There are men that know the truth and are suppressing the truth. Romans 1 said that they would do that. But I encourage you, look into L.A. Marzulli's work. I mean, he's doing some great work. He's written several books, one on the Trail of the Nephilim. He actually goes to Paracas, Peru, has gone into these graveyards that are thousands of years old in Peru and brought back these elongated skulls and interviews on radio and television and conferences. And with the evidence, and they've found hair on some of these skulls and done DNA tests on these things. And so what I'm getting at is we have hard evidence here. We got evidence that this is not a myth. You know, that's what I love about the Bible. yeah, this sounds far out. Yeah, it sounds wow. It's, but it's the real deal. And, you know, we can't lock God in a box. You say, well, why did God allow this? I don't know. But I know this, in his wisdom, anything that he allowed, it was in his perfect wisdom, and he knows. But see, he gave us this book, the Bible, his word, inspired through his prophets and apostles. He gave us this word so we would know the truth. And listen, you got to know your history before you can know your future, because I assure you, what I'm talking about is not just something that happened back then, that we're going to see this again. But again, you guys want to jump in here? I mean, I know I've been just going on about this, but,
history repeats itself.
Yeah, it does. History repeats itself. And here's what's interesting. And I'll just throw this in here because, you know, we're a show that'll deal with this kind of thing. But, you know, many years ago, actually back in 1987, I led someone to the Lord who was basically training to be a leader of a satanic coven. They were into Satanism. It was a generational thing. Family had been in it, and so on down the line. But when I led this person to the Lord Jesus, and they got saved, they began to tell me things. And one day we were reading this passage in Genesis 6, and this individual told me, she said, you know that these giants are real. These creatures, she called them, they're real, and they're hidden underground in these caves and these cities and things underground. And she said, they won't come out until the tribulation period. Now, here's a Satanist that just got saved in 1987 telling me about this. This is before the internet. This is before you were talking about, you know, skeletons and the evidence and all this stuff about the race of giants, the Nephilim and the Raphaim. But I just believed the scriptures. I knew if one part's true, the other part's true, and I just trust God. But when she started telling me this, I didn't have any problem believing her at all. And now you fast forward here, you know, 27 years, and we have people out there, you know, digging up the bones, doing the DNA tests, you know, filming what they're discovering, and piecing it all together and preaching and teaching this now. It's really indisputable. I mean, you just have to want to close your eyes and ears and say, la, 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 I don't want to know. I don't want to know, to ignore this. But folks out there, Christians, my Christian brothers and sisters listening tonight, and those who will listen, if you're listening to this archive program, you've got an answer to one of the biggest objections to unsaved, atheist, agnostics, people that want to accuse the Bible of being unfair or evil or mean, or, you know, you got the Gnostic people that want to say, well, there was a different God of the Old Testament, and Jesus is the God of the New Testament, and the God of the Old Testament was evil and mean, and Jesus is nice and sweet. And no, there's one God who manifests himself in three revelations, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus has always been. He is the everlasting Father. He is the mighty God. He didn't reveal his name as Jesus in the Old Testament. He hid that from us because now that name is revealed as the Messiah, the name of the Messiah, and the New Testament says that name is above every name. So we know from both Old and New Testament, we know that the Word of God is true and that God Almighty is the same God, and he has been fighting for us, evil, to preserve mankind, to get us to this point. And here's something else. I'll just say this. Jesus even stated this in Matthew 24 about his second coming. He said things will get so bad in those last days, in those last 7 years. He said that if I don't cut it short, no flesh would be saved. Now, let's think about that a minute. Does that mean just everybody would be dead, or does that mean there would be no pure human beings left? No true human flesh that had not been corrupted either by genetic manipulation or environmental contamination or implants, biotechnology, or even the work of the Nephilim again, or the fallen angels to begin to weed out and try to destroy all the human beings so that Satan only has his people controlling, and I say his people, his entities, creatures, beings, hybrids, controlling the earth. I mean, this is about a war. You got to remember, if you go back to Revelation chapter 19, it says that the Antichrist will gather his forces, those who took the mark, the armies, the evil armies of the earth that have departed from God completely, departed from Jesus Christ. He says that they will gather, and in the book of Daniel says it, and the book of Revelation, that they will gather to fight Jesus at Armageddon. They want to try to stop him from coming. And we know the Bible tells us how that's going to work out for them. It's not going to work out good. So we have Jesus saying, I'm coming back because there's such evil going to arise in the last days that's going to try to destroy, kill most of mankind, or manipulate and control most of mankind, or change man into a transhuman, post-human entity. And if I don't come back and put a stop to this evil, then there will be no flesh left. There'll be no mankind left. And God's not going to allow that to happen. So once again, God's going to have to intervene like he did. The flood was an intervention because the Nephilim, the Raphaim, they were getting too widespread. They were multiplying across the face of the earth, and mankind would have been wiped out. So God says, I'm going to take Noah because he's a righteous man. I'm going to take him also because he's pure in his generations. He doesn't have Nephilim genetic contamination. He said, I'm going to take him, I'm going to take his sons, and then their wives, and I'm going to put them on this boat, and I'm going to preserve mankind, and I'm going to set back Satan's plan for the destruction of mankind. So that's why the flood happened. Now, the Bible says, of course, in Genesis, that the Nephilim appeared at the time of Noah, before the flood, but it says also after that. And a lot of people speculate, well, how in the world, if God wiped them out, how in the world did they, how in the world did they continue? Well, you know, there's different ideas about that. But what we can say is it's very, very likely that the genetic, part of the genetics survived in one of the wives of, or maybe more, but one of the wives of Noah's sons. We know that Ham was evil. He went along with his father, and he got on the boat. We don't know if he picked a wife that was a righteous woman. We don't know if he picked a godly woman. But we know he was evil, and we know he had evil tendencies because of what he did with his father. And, of course, we know his father cursed him. We don't know all the details, but all we do know is that somehow the Nephilim genetics continued. And then some people have argued, and I've just made this point before, they say, well, some of those weren't those fallen angels chained that did that? Well, yeah, the Bible says that a lot of those angels were chained, but we know one that wasn't chained and who won't be chained until Jesus comes again, and that's Satan himself, Lucifer, Halal, the fallen angel, the main one. So if those angels could procreate, maybe a lot of them were chained up, but there still leaves Mr. Satan himself. We do know from Satanists and those deeply in the occult that he does come and appear at their meetings, and he actually has sexual relations with the high priestesses and other women in the satanic covens. I know, man, this sounds far out, but I'm just telling you what they say, what they tell you. We know that, again, there's been movies even come out about this, and we think, well, they're just science fiction, or they're just horror movies that are just far out, like, you know, Rosemary's Baby and all this kind of stuff. But listen, folks, as it's been said, truth is stranger than fiction a lot of times. Amen? Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break because we've been going a good bit here, but we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back in a minute. But we encourage you to keep looking at your Bibles. Don't believe Pastor Dean or Pastor Billy or Pastor Kevin here. We want you to believe the Word of God. If you have a question, we're going to try to find out those of you that we see some phone calls up here, but I'm not sure which one of you want to ask a question. I don't think anybody. But anyway, we're going to take, like I said, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Prophecy Quake, and I'm your host, Pastor Dean Odle, and like I said, we will be back in.
Almost here. moment of scripture is coming true, and we're expectantly waiting. The time is due. There's a change and it's brewing, an urgent call. It's the same kind of feeling before you fall. It's a sense, it's an instinct, an inner voice. It's a test, are you listening? Have you made your choice? There's a crossroad coming, do you know your path? Are you lost and running? Do you fear the wrath? Don't you feel all the heaviness in the air? If it's real, are you ready? Is your soul prepared? There's a big thing coming and there's not much time. It's all been written by God's design. There's a plan and a purpose, it's all divine. If you're awake and you heard this, you know the sign. There's a big thing coming and there's not much time. It's all been written by God's design. There's a plan and a purpose, it's all divine. If you're awake and you heard this, you know the sign. Is your family equipped if the time has come? Would you have what you need for me? There's a change that is coming, to that we agree. It's like we all seem to know that there's not much time before we reach the tipping point and we cross the line. We got one foot in the chasm of this growing crack. We're at the edge of the cliff and there's no turning back. There's a big thing coming and there's not much time. It's all been written by God's design. There's a plan and a purpose, it's all divine. If you're awake and you heard this, you know the sign. There's a big thing coming and there's not much time. Tornadoes and tidal waves. It's the eve of destruction, the harvest here. It's the reaping, but we will not live in fear. For our time of redemption is coming soon. By divine intervention, we'll see the truth arriving live and direct for all to view. If you haven't read the Bible, I pray you do. There's a big thing coming and there's not much time. It's all been written by God's design. There's a plan and a purpose, it's all divine. If you're awake and you heard, there's a big thing coming and there's not much time. It's all been written by God's design. There's a plan and a purpose, it's all divine. If you're awake and you heard this, you know the sign. It's like time speeding up and it seems so fast. And while a month slips by, a year has passed. You hear the same kind of feeling all over the globe. Not sure just what it's revealing, but you're not alone. The same dreams that you're dreaming are all repeating. It seems that while we are sleeping, we're giving meaning. So when it all goes down, there will be no doubt. From the east to the west, to the north and south. There's a big thing coming and there's not much time. It's all been written by God's design. There's a plan and a purpose, it's all divine. If you're awake,
long before they called it hyper grace, the Lord had me call it grace abuse. Back in 1997, I wrote my first book entitled Grace Abuse, One of the Greatest Hindrances to Genuine Revival. This book is about the false doctrine of once saved, always saved, or unconditional eternal security. I believe this doctrine and the abuse of this subject of grace is one of the biggest issues in the church today. Get your copy of Grace Abuse, One of the Greatest Hindrances to Genuine Revival, today at deanodal.org. Grace is not a license to sin.
Bible prophecy, current events, and prophetic revelation. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
And we're back, and you're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm your host, Pastor Dean Odell, along here with Pastor Billy Painter and Pastor Kevin Wilkinson. We're live tonight. We would be glad to take your phone calls if you have a question or a comment about what we've been discussing tonight. We know it's kind of wild, but it's in the Bible, folks. It's true. The number is 347-884-8566, 347-884-8566. You can call in with your comment or question. We'll get to you as soon as we can. Lord, we have a lot of people listening by phone, which is fine. That works, too. You can always listen by your cell phone. But we will try to communicate with you in a break if you want to get on the air. So you can just let us know that way, or you can do it in the chat room. Is the chat room working? Mine wasn't working a minute ago. So anyway, we are back. I want to go back to this a subject we're talking about, the Nephilim and the genetic mixture that Satan tried to create. And, of course, you know, there's a hint of this, of course, when Jesus said that as it was in the days of Noah, so will it also be in the days of the coming of Son of Man, that basically that this could be returning to us. And, of course, in the book of Daniel, there's an interesting, I mean a very interesting passage that talking about the last days and then mentions this about them mingling themselves with the seed of men. So why don't we turn, let's look at Daniel real quick here. We're going to turn to the prophet Daniel chapter 2. I really should have turned there during the break, but we were discussing other things. But Daniel, let me get there myself, Daniel chapter 2. And this is just an amazing passage because, see, this ties in also to the issue of aliens. Now, let me explain when I say that very clearly. We've had a show about that. Probably is one of our most listened to shows that we did when we first started about the alien agenda, the UFO phenomena, that it's, you know, it's a real phenomenon. Now, determining what it is, a lot of people are, you know, have different opinions and speculate here and there. But, of course, for the Christians, we know that there are extraterrestrials running around. They're called fallen angels. They're called demons. They can manifest in the physical realm as angels of light, and they can deceive people, and they can tell you they're anything. They can tell you they're your grandma Pearl, or they can tell you I'm an alien from the, you know, and that are out to deceive us and destroy us. And remember, the goal of all Satan's goal, his goal, the demons, the fallen angels, the servants of Satan out there, their goal is to turn people away from the Bible, from the gospel of Jesus Christ, from knowing Jesus as their Savior, living as a disciple of Jesus. They're trying to pull people away. So bottom line, if it tries to put down Jesus and the Bible and the truth of the gospel and the God of Christian, you can pretty well just hang your hat that it's Satan working through somebody, some way. And that's why you see New Agers, and you see and these people that are so-called abducted by aliens and had these experiments done on them, and it's usually perverted and sexual in nature, and, you know, it's usually about reproductive issues. I mean, this is the same crap we see the fallen angels doing back in the days of Noah. And, of course, there's been some connections. I can't get into it all tonight. L.A. Marzulli, through his different tests he's done in dealing with people who have so-called been abducted and had these encounters with these so-called aliens. And then, I'll just tell you, I mean, we'll get the documentation on it later. But L.A. Marzulli, they took a hair off of a Nephilim elongated skull, and they took one of those hairs, and there was a gentleman who said that he had been abducted by aliens, and he'd had, you know, basically had one of them have sexual relations with him, and it was all creepy. But he said that this entity actually left a hair, some hairs on him, and so they had the hair. Now here's where it gets amazing. You say, well, these people are nuts, this is a hoax. But when you take that hair, and they took it to, I can't remember what the thing is called that reads the what kind of hair it is and all the technical, but they ran it against a normal human hair, They ran it against, you know, some kind of animal hair. And then they ran it against these two together, the Nephilim skull head hair and the hair from this entity that was so-called alien abduction or visiting this guy. Well, anyway, the only hairs that matched, the hairs didn't match human hair. They didn't match animal hair. No, they both matched as the same kind of hair. The so-called aliens, Nephilim from the days of Noah. So there's a connection, folks. There are entities out there. And some of you are going to go, man, this guy's out there. Well, you're going to see it in the days ahead, I assure you. But this is in, we're going to, I told you to turn to Daniel chapter 2, and I did not forget that. Now, this is the statue that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream of, the statue with the head of gold and the chest of silver and the middle section of brass and then down to the legs of iron. And then the final, and these are kingdoms that would come. And he said, then there will be a final kingdom, the feet. They're going to be part iron and part clay. And the feet has the 10 toes, and that represents the 10 kings and the world final world government that's going to come together. But it says they're going to be part iron and part clay. And then verse 42 says the toes of the feet were part iron and part clay. So the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Verse 43 says this, and it's very interesting. It says, whereas you saw the iron mixed with the miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Wait a minute now. Whoa. See, this is when you gotta pause on some things sometimes. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Now, if they're not the seed of men, they're not human. So who is this they? You hear what I'm saying? This is the scripture. He's saying in this final kingdom of the Antichrist, there's going to be some funky stuff going on. And they, non-human entities, will be trying to mingle themselves with the seed of men, which is what they did in the days of Noah. What Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Oh, boy. So this is where it starts getting even creepy. And he says, look at verse 44. He says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven have a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom that shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these other kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So this is talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ, when he sets up his kingdom at the second coming. So we're talking about at the end, he's told here in this final kingdom that's part iron and part clay and 10 toes, 10 kings, the kingdom of the Antichrist, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. But it's not going to work. We're not going to ever be fully accomplished because Jesus is going to return and destroy this evil genetic manipulation. He's going to end it, and he's going to set up his kingdom on the earth, and those who stood for him, who are willing to die, if need be, to stand true. That's why I'm not letting them put anything in my body. No, sir. You're not putting anything in me. If you know, we got to go to jail or we got to die, but you're not putting a chip in me. You're not putting an electronic tattoo in me. You're not putting nanotech in me. And we were talking about this during the break here. There's a powerful scripture in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20, where Jesus said this. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And the first thing says, in my name of Jesus, you will cast out demons. He says, you will speak with new tongues. He talks about laying hands on us, about taking up serpents. That's not means picking up snakes. It's talking about taking authority over serpents and scorpions, which are symbols of demon spirits. And then he says this thing just thrown in there that you wonder, okay, what's he talking about when he says this is a sign, a supernatural sign for believers. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now, these are people who are walking in faith, walking with Jesus, believing in the supernatural. He says they'll cast out demons, they'll speak with new tongues, they'll heal the sick, They'll lay hands on people and heal the sick. They'll have power against serpents and scorpions, demons. And then he says, but if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And that's what Pastor Billy was bringing up about all the genetic with our food, the GMO stuff, and the, you know, all the crazy chemicals and the spraying in the sky and all this stuff that they're doing. What are they trying to do? I mean, he was talking about, I mean, you want to tell that about the grass?
Oh, yeah.
And the cows? Here you go.
Yeah. It was a few years ago where GMO altered grass that was being fed to cattle out in Texas to fatten them up, to make them bigger, take them to market. The first generation of the GMO altered grass came out fine. The cattle ate it and got large, and they went to market, and everybody was happy. But as the seasons changed and the GMO-altered grass sprouted up out of the ground for the second time, it had altered itself and went from a perfectly fine source of nutrition for the animals. It turned itself into an arsenic strychnine-type entity. The cattle ate it, of course, and they all died. So, you know, they really don't have a handle on the GMO issue. You know, they come up with a combination of things to manipulate something into growing differently or bigger or better in their eyes. But they don't know what it does after the fact. And a lot of people are putting these things into their bodies. I mean, you can even talk about fluoride in the water. Things of that ilk that actually, in the long run, is bad for us. And it really applies back to that scripture in Mark. And it's going to be quite interesting in the days and times to come that those people that are not walking in the light of the Lord, that the people that don't have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, how these things are going to affect them. More so, how these things are going to alter them. Because that's Satan's plan. He cannot create things. He can only try to alter them. And sadly enough, a lot of people are deceived. They've fallen for the deception. I was talking to Pastor Dean on the break and to Pastor Kevin, and I said, you know, I answered my own question. I said, how could anybody be so foolish? And then I thought, well, wait a minute. If they stick their head in the sand and ignore it, and quote-unquote poo-poo the idea of all this stuff, oh, that's not real, I don't believe that. Of course they can be deceived. They're deceived from the get-go.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. I mean, this genetic game that's being played out there now is getting beyond. I mean, just some of you have never even heard this discussed. Just go and type in the word in your Google or Bing or Yahoo search engine. Type in the word transhumanism. And you're going to find out that it's not the crazies talking about it. It's your scientists. It's your geneticists. It's your biologists. I mean, it's people talking about it. Because what the devil is trying to promise these people is that through their new age spirituality and pledging allegiance to the Luciferian system, they're going to get rid of the peons that are in the way, the, as Kissinger called us, the useless eaters, and going to get rid of them and going to use the wealth of the world and the technology of the world to develop these things so that they outside of having to accept Jesus Christ, the God of heaven. And this is exactly what the Tower of Babel was about. We're going to build our own way to heaven. We're going to unite. We're going to create our own gate to heaven. And that's really what the Tower of Babel was about. A lot of people think they were just ignorant people thinking that they were going to build a tower high enough to get into heaven. That's not what at all they were thinking. They were building a place of demonic worship. We're going to create a place where there could be a portal between the two worlds.
Stargate.
Yeah. Basically, it's Stargate. And this is what a lot of people don't get, man, that these people in this world are serious about destroying Christianity, getting rid of Christians, all the Jews, Israel, the Bible. We don't want any of that. And that's exactly what Psalm 2 says when it talks about the prophecy of the end time, when he says the kings of the earth and the rich men, the rulers of the world have gathered together and they have conspired against the Lord and against his anointed. And that's the God of creation, Yahweh, and his anointed, his Messiah, Jesus. And it says they've conspired against him. And they said, let us cast away his cords from us. His band. We don't want any of his rules. We don't want any of his restrictions. We don't want to be bound by any of the spiritual laws or the natural laws. We're going to use our technology and our supernatural spiritual abilities. We're going to create our own reality. We're going to create our own eternal life. We're going to create our own religion. We're going to create our own world government and our kingdom. And we're going to stop this Jesus Christ from setting up his kingdom. But, of course, they're sadly mistaken. Because like the cross at first appeared to be a defeat, but God knew through the cross, the death of Jesus, the Messiah, the God-man on the cross, that death of sinless man would open the door for redemption and forgiveness and eternal life to every one of us who had sinned if we would just ask God to have mercy, forgive us, and turn to him and believe in him and follow him. And see, the devil, he just can't stand it that he can't be like God.
He can't trump him.
No, he can't trump him. And I like what you said there, Pastor Billy. He can't create anything. He's got to alter things. He's got to twist things. He's got to manipulate things. And that's what the mark of the beast. Listen, folks, that's why this is so important that you grasp the gravity of these passages. Because we go over to Revelation chapter 13 and we see, you know, the beast coming. And the beast that's going to rise up out of the sea having seven heads and 10 horns. And 10 crowns. And then we see the man that's going to rise up and take over that world government, that beast, the Antichrist. And we see, you know, in verse chapter 7, it's going to look like a defeat because it says it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, which is Jesus, slain from the foundation of the world. So he's sitting there, he's telling us, it's going to look like a defeat, like the cross. And the devil thought he had won when Jesus was crucified. He incited the mob. And I love what the Bible says. If the devil had known what was coming, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it looked like a defeat. But then 3 days later, when the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of Almighty God came into that tomb and filled Jesus and rose him up from the dead, and he defeated hell and death, and he made a way for forgiveness and showed us that he is the God of life and eternal life, that's what is going to happen again. It's going to look like that Satan and his world government and his Antichrist and all their technology and all their spooky New Age religion and they're bringing all religions together and creating their own thing. They're going to do miracles and signs and wonders from the Satan's power, and all the world's going to wonder after this beast. And then he's going to say, well, you know what? To be part of this, you got to take this mark in your right hand or your forehead. You got to have this thing implanted in you. So you'll be able to buy or sell, and you got to become an enhanced human being. You're gonna be, you know, supernatural. You're gonna have to wave your hand in front of a lock or your car or for your bank account. You're just gonna wave your hand, and you're gonna have it. And so that's the promise. But this is what it says, of course, that it says that if you go to chapter 14 of Revelation, this you know, it almost sounds like this Old Testament God. Because all of a sudden, when you take the mark of the beast, you could have been a murderer. You could have been had an abortion. You could have been an adulterer, a fornicator. But you turn to God and you say, Lord, you know, have mercy on me, a sinner, forgive me. And the loving God of creation, Yahweh, Jehovah, Jesus, forgives you, washes your sin away. But here's a sin spoken of. If you do this, there is no forgiveness. There's no forgiveness. There's no chance. Once you do this, take the mark of the beast, take this implant, whatever it is. It's coming. It'll be made known. He says there is no forgiveness. Let's read this. This is Revelation 14 and verse 9. And the third angel followed them and saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they shall have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. And then this verse, he said, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. So he's saying, it's better to die. It's better to die, whether it's starve to death, have them put a bullet in you or cut your head off or whatever they're going to do. It's better to die and not take this thing, this implant, because if you take it, there is no forgiveness. There is no coming back. And I believe it because it will change you from being truly human. I believe it may even take over your mind, control your free will. You may not be able to come back from this at all, even if you wanted to. That's and they're talking about trying to create technology and everything else. They want to implement them so that they don't have empathy. They will just follow orders and kill anything they say to kill. I mean, we pretty well already got that with a lot of our black ops and MK Ultra, assassins that we've killed. That's not enough. They want a soldier they can completely control that has no feelings, no empathy, no sympathy. And they're going to do this through implants. They're going to do this through technology. I mean, they're already talking about it. That and to stress and to cope with getting back into reality. Think about that. They're telling you we've got stuff we can implant into you that it can change your emotions and the way you think already. So, folks, hear what I'm telling you right now. Do not trust the government. I love what Ronald Reagan said. The most scary phrase you can ever hear is that we are from the government and we are here to help you. This is a scary, and especially now, folks. We are clearly told that the governments of the world, the leaders of the world, are going to be given over to Satan and his plan for the end. World Federation, peace and hippies of the world, you're not putting anything in me or upon me.
Let the word of God enhance you. Don't let anything that man puts forth. He says, if man says it's an enhancement, you best run from it.
That is true. I don't want it, man. I'm telling you, we're discovering as whistleblowers, they told us, the vaccines, there's no connection between autism and the vaccines, and everybody was ridiculed that Dare said that there was a connection, and now you got whistleblowers coming out, and saying, there was research that showed clearly that there was a connection between vaccines and autism, but I'm just telling you, the propaganda machine is there. They're out to make a buck. You just got to understand this. The government of the United States, and I'm not talking about the American people. The American people, there's a lot of good people in America. A lot of people love God and want to do the right thing and just want to raise their families and make a living and live in peace. But we've got a government that's been hijacked by evil people that want to use the power and the military power and the technology and everything for their evil purpose of bringing about a world government under Lucifer, Satan. That's the plan, you guys. That's what the Bible foretold, and it is what they are doing. It's not speculation. It's not conspiracy theory. It's not assumptions. It is reality. They openly talk about it. They openly admit it. You know, you got the famous viral video of Bill Gates talking about we've got to reduce the population of the world. And one of the richest men in the world who's contributing, you know, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars into vaccine research. What are they doing? You know, and it looks like that the Ebola virus has a patent on it, may have been released on purpose in West Africa. Why? Because, listen, you may think it's crazy, but when you have Bill Gates and Oprah and the Bilderberger groups and these powerful movers and shakers getting together, and, yeah, Ted Turner, and who all these people have gazillions of dollars talking about, we want to reduce the population of the world. And then you got somebody paying a nice sum of money to set up the Georgia Guidestones that said they want to reduce the population of the world to under 500 million. Well, that means you got to get rid of 6.5 billion people. Now, will they succeed at doing that? No, I don't believe so. Are they going to try?
Oh, yeah.
I don't subscribe to George Carlin's atheism or his foul mouth. But he made a statement one time that I heard, the comedian George Carlin, is just like, you know, why do we find it funny that the wealthiest people in the world and the most powerful people in the world might get together and have a plan? But you're a conspiracy nut. Well, can I tell you, folks, if it's in the Bible, if it's in Bible prophecy, it always comes to pass. And if it's in Bible prophecy and I see any hint of it happening in the world, it's no longer a conspiracy theory. It is a fact. It is a conspiracy fact. And guess what? There are real conspiracies. And the conspiracy, the satanic conspiracy with the leaders of the world is to get rid of Christians and Israel and anyone who basically opposes the system that's coming because they're determined they're going to set it up. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm your host, Pastor Dean Odle. We'll be back in just a minute with the final segment of this evening's broadcast.
Our constitutional journey did not stop then, and it must not stop now, Judge. And we'll be faced with equally consequential decisions in the 21st century. Can a microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement? There's actual discussion about that. You will rule on that, mark my words, before your tenure is over. Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior? You will rule on that. And Judge, I need to know whether you will be a justice who believes that the constitutional journey must continue to speak to these consequential decisions, or that we've gone far enough in protecting against government intrusion into our autonomy, into the most personal decisions we make. Judge, that's why this is a critical moment.
The whole agenda is to create a one-world government where everybody has an RFID chip implanted in them. All money is to be in those chips, right? There'll be no more cash. And this is giving me straight from Rockefeller himself. This is what they want to accomplish. And all money will be in your chips. And so instead of having cash, anytime you have money in your chip, they can take out whatever they want to take out whenever they want to. If they say you owe us this much money in taxes, they just deduct it out of your chip digitally.
Total control.
Total control. And if you're like me or you, and you're protesting what they're doing, they can just turn off your chip. And you have nothing. You can't buy food. You can't do anything. It's total control of the people.
And that chip's connected to a database that has your purchasing records, what you do. What
everything.
You sell.
Everything is in there, you know? And so they want a one-world government controlled by them, everybody being chipped, all your money in those chips, and they control the chips, and they control people. And you become a slave. You become a serf to these people. That's their goal. That's their intentions.
And we're back. Those were a couple of clips there. The first clip you heard was then-Senator Joe Biden, who's now Vice President of the United States, in the confirmation hearings for Justice Stevens, who's now the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, explaining to him that he will be ruling on chips being implanted in a person's body, not only to track them, but to determine their behavior in the future. I mean, that is just mind-blowing. And the second clip was Aaron Russo, who had been a candidate for governor of Nevada back years ago. He became a political activist. He was a filmmaker. He got introduced to David Rockefeller, after he made his film Mad as Hell. And, of course, he was just talking about all the problems going on in our government and who was really controlling it. And so they tried to get him on their team and just divulged that the plan was to create a world government. The plan was to get everyone chipped so they could be controlled economically and physically. And so, again, I felt like, you know, even though we've played those clips in past shows, that, of course, we have new people listening all the time, but still, you need to realize this is not just the Bible saying, it's not some crazy preacher in Alabama saying this. These are the world movers and shakers. I mean, Senator Biden, you know, gets to be the Vice President of the United States after that little tirade. And, I mean, it's obvious who is in the in crowd and who is not and who wants to be cast out. Just fascinating stuff out there. Listen, we have a few moments of this evening. We've got about 8 minutes left. If you have a question or a comment, you better do it quickly tonight here on Prophecy Quake. Our number is 347-884-8566. 347-884-8566. If your number pops up there in just any time now, we're going to take that call immediately. But we welcome your comments. But while we wait on that, I just want to say, look, we were talking about this during the break, and this is the important thing. Bottom line in all of this, all the crazy stuff going on with GMO, genetic manipulation, the coming mark of the beast, the implants they want to put in us, the things they want to do to the food and the water, everything that's going on out there to bring about this basically the downfall of the United States and the world government, and to bring people into total control. All of this, it's going to happen. And folks, it's going to happen in our lifetime. We're going to see it. This is not something far off anymore. There are people out there trying to say, oh, we got 20 years, we got 50 years. You know, they've been saying Jesus is coming. Look, I'm not even sitting here telling you Jesus is coming tomorrow. Matter of fact, I don't believe it's for another 7, 8, 9, 10 years. But in my lifetime, oh, yes. This, all of this that we're talking about, all of this that's left in Bible prophecy and Scripture is that you get to the second coming of Jesus, and we get through those 7 years. Some of us may never see the chip because our time's running out. The bottom line on all of this is your only salvation, your only redemption, your only protection, your only help is in the true Savior, Jesus Christ. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Allah, not Krishna, not some cosmic Christ force of the New Age. Not in the coming Mahdi, no, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. His name is above every name. And he's the only one that's going to give you forgiveness of your sins, and we have all sinned. He's the only one that can forgive your sins and wash them away. He's the only one that died for those sins and rose from the dead. And he's the one that has all power and authority in heaven and earth. You say, well, why is he going to allow this, preacher? Because there's a lot of evil people in the world. He said, well, why is he going to allow his people to suffer? Because we're a testimony in our suffering, in our martyrdom, in our death, and in our life. We are a witness that we love him more than our lives. We love him more than our possessions. God will allow, there's some people right now that say they're Christians, but they love their life and their possessions and their own plans more. And God's going to allow this to happen. And listen, all things, the Bible says, Romans 8:20 says, all things work together for good to those who love God according to his purpose. So if God allows you to go through suffering, if God allows you to even have to face martyrdom and persecution and martyrdom, death for his name's sake, it's because God wants to root something out of you that may keep you out of heaven. And he wants to use that suffering and those trials to make you pure gold, to purify you so you will see. You know what? And I think what's coming to America, the judgment that's about to happen in America, the collapse of the dollar, the attacks from terrorists and from Russia and other things that are going to happen in the U.S., I think it's really God's mercy, because we have so many Christians in this country that are so caught up in entertainment industry. They're caught up in sports, or they're caught up in trying to, you know, outdo the neighbors and make more money and have a fancier car and get a bigger TV and all of these things, and they go to church on Sunday, but then they come home and live pretty much like the rest of the world, still drinking, still, you know, still messing around. Some enter in adulterous affairs. Some are, you know, still not getting married and shacking up with the girlfriend or the boyfriend, and but saying, hey, I'm a Christian, I believe, and you know, then our country is covered with mega churches that just tell everybody, oh, you know, it's about your best life now, and it's about prospering, and it's about God wants to bless you no matter what you're doing. And you know, bottom line, God will forgive. But he wants us to get serious. When 9/11 happened, people were in awe, could not believe what happened to the United States, that we were that vulnerable. And it shook a lot of people, but it didn't shake them enough. So in God's mercy, he's about to let some portion. Those things are coming. And hopefully, and I believe this, I believe the Spirit of God's even spoken to me, that he's going to let these things happen kind of incrementally, because in his mercy, he's going to get America's attention, and particularly the American church. And there's going to be a revival. I believe that. A real revival of repentance, of some true humility and sorrow for our sins, and some turning loose of some idols and some lust and some, I can't even hardly turn on Facebook and, you know, stuff will pop up that, you know, it's like, I don't want to see that. I don't need to see that, you know. But we're just bombarded every day in this culture, and a lot of Christians are just giving in to it and falling to it. And the Lord's like, I'm going to start stripping it away. I'm going to start breaking it down, and hopefully you'll start listening to me and listening to my word and get hungry for the truth. And Listen, fear is coming on. So we're about Fire and Grace Church here in Opelika, Auburn, Alabama, Dean Odle Ministries. This is what we're about. Get close to Jesus because time is running out. And having said that, of course, we are out of time tonight. This show, I tell you, it flew by tonight. We are glad you were with us. We hope you were blessed. Let us hear from you through Facebook, email, however, let us hear from you. God bless. Join us next week, same time, same place. Of course, we're on 11 a.m. Central Time, Sunday morning, so you can join us then as well. God bless. You have a good evening.
You've been listening to Prophecy Quake with Pastor Dean Odle. Be sure to join us next week, same time. And to further connect with us, go to deanodle.org or Facebook, Dean Odle Ministries.